On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us, listen to the Powers That Be, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob
Welcome Albrock in here to Crestview Country Kester. Club. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Kester. We were supposed to be outside this morning, but it got a little wet out there as we're coming to you from the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament. The first one, if you're watching us on the video stream, we're still working on the lights. This is all makeshift. So we've got you, though. We're ready to rock and roll. Excited to be here with you and excited to be a part of this golf tournament, which sounds like is going to be a great time today, Tommy. Rain or not, we're just going to be chasing golf balls in a little cart path only.
Yeah, it might be a little damp out there today, but a great cause and the first or the inaugural Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament. And so, everything's kind of running loose. And, we were anticipating being outside this morning to do our show. This has happened before. Remember March Madness? We were out at Intrust Bank Arena. We had to call an audible last minute and go inside a restaurant to do our show. So we're inside the club here at Crestview Country Club to do the program today, but looking forward to having just a great day here out on the course.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. We should have Grady. He'll be running around like crazy talking to people and getting this thing ready, but he should be able to stop by here for just a little bit at some point in the next hour and a half or so. So we'll catch up with Grady when that happens, see how his offseason's going, get ready for the NBA next, what would be his third season, and then take you into why he's doing this and what a great cause it is and what it'll help out. So we'll do all that throughout the show. Of course, it was a busy sports weekend for us. The Royals had a mildly is not probably the right word, a very disappointing weekend in Minnesota, a place they continue to struggle, and time's running out a little bit. We're going to have Jalen Thompson. He will stop by and join us as well to discuss the Royals. That'll come up in the next hour. That's coming for you. We want to talk a little Chiefs football, Tommy. Of course, the preseason opener is in the books. There are some things to take away from the preseason opener, I think. So we'll have that for you as well. And all kinds of stuff. You can still always give us a call. You can leave us your video comments as well at our various avenues to do so, which are Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us, of course, on 12 News Connected. And we should be having a lot of fun here. Tommy, it's a Monday. We're getting the week started right.
We are. I'll tell you what, like I one of the things that I really enjoy about golf tournaments like this and where we're out here, live this morning at the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament is that, I think that people are sometimes they're like, it's raining and the weather is not going to hold up. It's not going to be great, et cetera, et cetera. But I think everybody just kind of recognizes you go with the flow, and however many holes you can get into play, great.
Oh yeah.
The better.
We're out here to have fun. It's going to be great. We love having the rain also.
And let's be honest, the Odyssey team, we're not going to win. We're not in it to win it by any means.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm in it to win it.
Okay.
Why are you setting us
you'll
up?
Have
for,
to,
why
have
are
to
you
carry,
setting us up for failure?
You'll have to carry the team on your back then.
Yeah, we can handle that. Just a bunch of pro athletes out here. No big deal. A lot of people have told me that's what I remind them of. Everything we're doing for you today is what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, locations East, West, and Historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. Of course, we are at Crestview Country Club, great supporters of this show as well. A little double dip there, which is always nice that we have this this good part of our program and what we can do every day hosting this tournament. This is a little different setup than our Wichita Open setup today, but that's what the rain does. And we're making do. We got our guy Zeb back here setting us up. He just got a phone light aimed at us. You can see us a little better.
Yeah.
This is radio. It's live radio.
I told Zeb, by the way, that if he was able to come out here, help us technically get everything set up, which he's usually behind the scenes on our live broadcasts, that if he did that, he would have a spot on our team today.
Oh, man.
So Zeb pulled out the golf clubs and dusted them off, and cleaned him up, and he's going to be golfing on the Odyssey team today.
And he just told us he wasn't sure if it was a women's set or a men's set that he had, which is great.
I mean, that's another reason as to why. I mean, I'm not counting on a victory today for our team, but that's okay.
That's a good way to start. We'll ask Grady if he goes into every NBA season, I'll count on a victory. You know, that's just the real athletes don't think that way, Tommy.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's an NBA superstar, right. And right. I am sitting here with you today.
Because he doesn't think that way.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get into all of this. A lot of, you know, Sam Stevens. Did Sam Stevens make it through? I have to lean on you on our golf
stuff. I believe he did. I'll double check that. I believe he did.
I think he did, too. The FedEx Cup playoffs, as we're at Crestview, and they're always so locked into what Sam's doing, is a little bit confusing. I am really glad they're doing it, though. I'm finally glad golf got to that. So we'll check in, see and make sure he's still alive. But it's, you know, it's the Chiefs. And what did we say, Tommy? Andy Reid's such a liar, like at these things. He's not even doing it on purpose. I genuinely do believe him. But it's so funny when he said that the quarterbacks will get a quarter and everybody's like, oh, OK, sure, they will.
Yeah. Like, what? I don't believe you, Andy Reid. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes threw one pass. And it was a 1 yard touchdown pass.
And it was so perfect.
Yeah.
It was so perfect. That's, of course, not anything remotely close to the biggest thing we were paying attention to in the Chiefs game. It might have been the least important thing we were paying attention to in the Chiefs game. It kind of turned into the rookie reps. And we'll get into all of this today. But just a perfect scenario and situation for what we were joking about at the end of last week with Patrick Mahomes and the starters, generally speaking, reps, is that it was one.
Maybe.
And it was efficient.
Maybe one.
Very efficient.
It was. And there were a handful of starters that didn't play in the game on Saturday. Rashee Rice didn't play. Hollywood Brown, obviously still dealing with his injury. He didn't play. Drew Tranquil didn't play. There were a handful of starters that didn't get any reps whatsoever in that game. And I mean, that's not the worst thing in the world. I'm totally fine with that. But the starters that did play, it wasn't like we saw a whole lot of them.
Yeah, we'll take a look at all of that. So we'll get you through the reps. We'll get you through the Royals game. All of these things coming for us here on the show today.
Which, by the way, I did check. Sam Stevens did make it through. So after the FedEx St. Jude Championship that ended yesterday, he is now 31st in the FedEx Cup standings, and the top 50 move on now. It's going to be an interesting
next one. This
next one's going to be really interesting because the cut then goes from 50 to 30. And so he's one outside of the top 30 right now. So he's going to need a good showing this weekend. And he's going to need, you know, a couple of people to probably take a little bit of a step back for him to get right inside that top 30.
Might as well just go win it, you know, like we're going to do today. Might as well just go win the thing.
I like your blind optimism. I mean, I don't share it. I don't share that blind optimism. But I at least appreciate it coming from you.
Yeah, we can be optimistic. We can talk trash until we can't. That's all we can do. Thanks to Prairie Fried Coffee for always keeping up the Odyssey stations locked in and ready to roll in the mornings and all day long, really, with the coffee there. We appreciate their support as well. We are looking forward to a fun morning. It is damp out there as they get set up, and we're kind of moving around. If you're on your way out here right now, come inside. They're going to have some breakfast for everybody. They say the Palace Bar, Tommy.
I believe that's correct. I think things are, you know, a little bit loose right now, trying to get this rain out of here and, you know, get everything going. It sounds like, you know, that they're going to have quite the cast of people out here playing today. I don't know exactly who all is.
We'll let Grady do that.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that'll be fun. And so I think they're just kind of, you know, rolling with what the weather brings them. Yeah.
So if you're on the drive out, if you're a part of this tournament, head into the Palace Bar, I believe, for registration and a breakfast burrito. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, how about that Chiefs opener? What did we see? What did we want to see? Did we see what we wanted to see? That's all next on Sports Daily Live from Crestview Country Club at the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, live from Crestview Country Club. The sun is coming up. We are making do here. You can see behind us. It's still a little wet out there. You can see behind us very well right now. We're coming to you.
You can
from
see
the
behind us very well
on the video stream.
See us very well, but yeah. You can see behind us.
We're working on some things. Yeah. We haven't even gotten the lights on inside where we had to kind of come in to sneak in and get out of the rain for a minute here. But the tournament is expected to go. If you're listening, if you're on your way here to the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament, just keep on coming. We might be just a few minutes later, but it'll be no problem. We'll get this thing rocking and rolling and good to go. All right, Tommy, as we come back in here, we need to talk a little Chiefs football. How good does that roll off the tongue?
It's fantastic.
Chiefs actual football.
Yeah.
Is it actual football in the preseason? That might be debatable.
It's close enough. I mean, it's the best that we can get right now.
It's the best we're going to get for the next, what do we got now, 3 weeks? 3 weeks from today would be we'd be almost playing real football. It'll be the last Monday. It'll be 4 weeks from now. We'll have our first Monday Night Football. So we're looking forward to it. So the Chiefs play the Cardinals. As we joked about in the last segment, you get a pass from Patrick Mahomes, and that's it. He, you know, plays a quarter, which never happens, and it ended up just being a pass, which is fine. It's fine. It's a joke. It's funny, but it's fine. He'll probably play maybe a series or two, I bet, in the next game, and that'll be it. And honestly, don't you just kind of say, hey, Pat, what do you want to do here? How much do you want to play?
Absolutely. I mean, but knowing him, he's going to want to play the entire game. I mean, that's the way.
Maybe 5 years ago. I think he gets this thing now. Either way, Gardner Minshew, who's now the backup, I think looked pretty good. That's probably what you're looking at the most out of the quarterback position. If they get past, you know, Minshew, you're in trouble. So everything looks good at quarterback as we expected. The running back situation is interesting. Isaiah Pacheco did get a carry, which maybe surprised me a little bit. I think this is the spot on the team to me that is the biggest question. Isaiah Pacheco is going to have, you know, a big opportunity early, but I just really wonder what the plan is behind him. Carson Steele had a few carries. I've kind of forgot about Carson Steele, honestly. Kareem Hunt was brought back, but Kareem Hunt, man, he's got no juice anymore. He does the things that they like. He knows the plays. He can protect the quarterback. He can, you know, maybe help you in the goal line. But it's Breshad Smith that I'm the most interested in. And he did have four carries in the game. He was, you know, active in the game. He also had a catch, I believe, but it was a negative play, which doesn't really matter. It's just how much do they use him? I think he's the biggest question mark in that backfield. How quickly and how much do they use him? We know they don't mind and like using rookie running backs. We know they don't care where he was drafted. It's how much can he help the offense and what ways can he help the offense? And I feel like a rotation of Pacheco and Smith is the most juice this offense could have. But you know Kareem Hunt's going to get his run.
I mean, yeah, they need to lean on him, I think, for just a change of pace. And he may not have you know, a whole lot in those old legs anymore. But, you know, being able to at least be a little bit of a change of pace guy every now and then, I do think there's a benefit to that. Elijah Mitchell got some play in the preseason game. I mean, he had 3 carries for 10 yards. And really, it was just a smorgasbord of running backs that touched the football on Saturday night for the Chiefs. I think that Elijah Mitchell is somebody that, while we may not have extremely high hopes on or really even any hopes at all for, I think that if they brought him in out of free agency, they're going to see what they have in him.
Which is a health thing with him.
For sure. And if he can remember, before he dealt with those injuries, he was a really good running back in this league.
Yeah, he's got a lot of juice.
It's just a matter of whether or not he can even get back to a fraction of where he was before those injuries. And if he can, then at that point, yeah, I mean, you kind of feel like you've got another asset in that backfield and another option to be able to give the ball to. I don't think that's a bad thing at all to have somebody like him back there if he's healthy and if he can continue, you know, to work his way back and maybe be a little bit of the running back he was previously.
Yeah, I mean, how many are they going to carry? I think is the, you know, are they going to carry 5 backs? Are they going to only carry 4? What happens with Carson Steele, who was sort of the darling of last season's, you know, preseason? I think that'll be a little bit interesting. So we'll play that part by ear. I didn't think it would be as important, but with some of the injuries to receiver and things like that, they may run it a little bit more. And I just don't know how you try to manage Isaiah Pacheco's workload as you're making your way through this season. Like, do you cap it? I think you probably do to some degree.
Yeah.
Like I think Isaiah Pacheco is going to be really effective. I just don't know how many times he's going to get like 18 carries in a game. Probably it feels more like it's going to be like 12. Who do they use around the goal line? That probably becomes Kareem Hunt territory. We'll see. And the problem is it's a lot of the same faces, but they didn't have Pacheco for so much of last year. There's not just a whole lot we can go off of, but it's probably more important what they do at wide receiver, which we go down. I think Jalen Royals is the story of camp. 5 targets. I think their Chiefs are telling us that they want Jalen Royals to be a part of this offense early on. He had the most targets, I believe. He had the most targets. Yeah, he had the most targets in the game. He played a lot of reps. I think they're trying to acclimate him quickly because I think they're going to need him early, and I think they're planning on it, which was not the plan probably 4 weeks ago.
Well, I think he's got the athleticism and he's got the speed to be able, you know, just from a sheer ability perspective, I think he can get the job done. The question has always been for him and other rookies, especially rookie wide receivers, is acclimating themselves to the playbook and getting on the same page with Patrick Mahomes and the play calling and all of that. If he can even be ahead of the curve of what typically rookie wide receivers are able to do, then sure. I mean, I think that he can absolutely have some kind of impact early on, regardless if Rashee Rice is in the mix or not. I think that from what you just said, I agree with you. Him getting the targets that he got and what we've been able to hear about him in training camp, they obviously think extremely highly of him. And they think that he is somebody that can be a key contributor pretty early on offensively for this team. I don't know if anybody had Jason Brownlee on their bingo card to catch the touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes. And I don't really know much about him. That was really the first time I'd seen him have any kind of play before. And it's not like he was really talked about in training camp a whole lot. So, you know, we'll see if that's an anomaly or if there's something to take away from that. But I'll tell you, and I know this is different from wide receiver talk, but it's still in the same realm as pass catching. I had forgotten that Robert Tonyan was on this team.
Yep.
And
I was just about to ask how many tight ends they're going to carry.
I know the question has been, outside of Travis Kelce, who else do you have on that depth chart? Tonyan had a really good game, and there were a couple of passes that he caught from Gardner Minshew that were really pretty. They were nice grabs, and he's a guy that's been around in the league for a while now. If he can be a depth piece on this team, I mean, that could very well be a benefit to this team.
Yeah, I think he will be, which means I think they'll carry 4 tight ends. And that's where I go into the next one. So if Juju is going to make the roster, obviously, and Rashee Rice is going to be there. And I'm going to ask you a question about him in a second, too. But Rice will be there. Worthy will be there. Royals will be there. That's four, right? Those probably will be the four at some point. Then you get into this mix of guys that have been around for a long time. Remigio, then you've got Tyquan Thornton, who's been kind of this year's storyline. How many do you think that they're going to carry here? Sky Moore may not make this team. I can't imagine that he would.
I think Sky Moore is going to be done. I mean, I just with the ascension of Royals, and then, of course, I think they love what Nico Remigio can do in the return game.
He makes six if they keep Thornton.
They love what he can do, you know, there. So I have a hard time thinking that Sky Moore is going to be somebody that will continue on this team.
I do too. So then becomes the question of Rashi Rice. And I still think he's suspended at the beginning of this season. And I don't know what happens with his roster spot. I suppose they can just carry an extra for a while. Maybe that's where Sky Moore comes in. And then over time, one of these guys is going to have to get cut or go to the practice squad, probably. But if they're keeping an extra tight end, which I think they should, I mean, it gets down to that point. And then there's the news over the weekend from Rashi Rice, and it's still kind of the same thing. It's more of a, the Chiefs expect, you know, X, Y, Z. But that's all the news we're getting on that, which is, still blows my mind. And the expectation from them was what, 4 to 6? Is that what was being reported?
Yeah, that's correct. What do you think the delay is? Like, why do you think, do you have a gut feeling?
I think the longer this goes, my gut says the longer it goes, the worse it is for Rice, honestly.
Why?
Because it means there's still something they're looking for or have found or are trying to sort through. If it was as cookie cutter as it appears in the court system, it wouldn't take this long. They do their own investigation. So, you know, that's the part of it that, like, if they're looking at it longer, it means they're looking at something else that hadn't been there yet. I don't know. Look, I've always thought six. I thought 6 to 8 last year when we were kind of in it. Everyone keeps saying the lighter end. Maybe the Chiefs just keep putting out there to, you know, try to change the universe. But I've thought 6 forever. Maybe 4 to 6 is realistic. I just don't understand. And I know the league always is on its own timetable, but the fact that Addison happened and this one hasn't, that's the thing now that's making me think, well, maybe they're looking at something else in their investigation when it comes to a personal conduct policy and not the actual letter of the law that could be a problem for Rice. They're not going to want to make light of what's happened. And I don't know if they need to set an example necessarily with Rice, but, you know, this guy's driving 100 miles an hour in a 50, there's been some things where, like, this reckless driving is kind of a problem too. I don't see a world where they take it easy on him at all. Maybe they don't throw the book at him, but I don't think they're going to cut any breaks to him in a suspension time. There isn't really precedent for what he did other than Henry Ruggs. And obviously that's different because somebody died. But Rice, they could have. Right. I mean, it's lucky that Absolutely. Nobody did. So I think all this talk of four, I don't know where that's coming from.
I don't know. I actually like the fact that Rice didn't play in the game on Saturday. I mean, obviously he's working his way back from that ACL. You know, so there's really no need to risk it. Number one, number two, I would be surprised, honestly, if we see Rice at all this preseason. Mainly because I think that there's probably something in the back of the head of the Chiefs where they think, hey, it'd be probably advantageous for us if we're going to be missing him for a handful of games to start the season. If we just don't have him in the preseason and we can continue to kind of operate as though we don't have him on.
Wouldn't you like to see one time, one series, and I don't even know that I'm advocating for this really, but it would be interesting to have just like one possession where Mahomes had all five of those guys on the field at once, where he has Juju, Rice, Worthy, Royals and Hollywood.
I mean, it'd be fun. Is it necessary?
Well, no. I mean, I know it's not necessary, but at some point, like that, they're going to run five receiver sets. And like, if you envision late in the season, that's going to be it. The problem is, I don't know how much good that does you because you then lose Rice for a while. The chances that all five of those guys stay healthy that feels next to zero.
I'd rather it be when it matters. I'd rather it be when it counts.
Well, I'm just saying to get the work in now. Don't you envision, like, if all things were well and the Chiefs had their offense set up the way they would, they'd probably run five receiver sets?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I would think that they've got enough talent to be able to do that. And on top of all of it,
give Kelsey a break.
Yeah. What we've gone this entire time and actually kind of buried the lead.
Josh Simmons.
I mean, Josh Simmons is the real deal.
Yeah, it's
the lead. I know it's a preseason game, and I know that you know, anytime the thing that's weird about preseason is that if somebody plays bad, then you're like, oh, like, I don't know if it's going to work. But if somebody plays good, then it's like, well, it's just the preseason. Like, hang on.
But I don't think you do that so much at left tackle. Look, it was becoming pretty clear right away last year at left tackle that Suamataiu was struggling there.
Yeah.
Like, we were seeing that.
Oh, shoot. He struggled with left guard on Saturday as well.
So, but that's what I mean. Like, so if you can see that struggle there, I do think it matters that the guy standing next to him is not struggling. And I always have to sort of, until we really get into it, I got to trust people that study tape, right? The people that are watching this stuff that way to ever get a real good feel for offensive linemen. Like, until you get into games and you're in big situations and you see them line up against an elite edge rusher, and whether they dominate it or not, like, if you almost have to not watch anything else but the offensive lineman you're trying to get a feel for. So everybody that does that for a living was highly impressed with what Simmons did. Now, you also have rose-colored glasses a lot of the time, I think, in those kinds of evaluations. But for a first run, first time out, I mean, what else could the Chiefs have wanted to see from him? He probably becomes a player that plays, I'll bet you this, in the next game, he'll play as long as Mahomes plays, and then that's probably going to be it for him. Because remember, he's coming off of an injury. I know he's a rookie, and I advocate on this show all the time for rookies getting time in the preseason. But if you get another good performance for as long as Mahomes is out there, I think you just are. That would be enough for me in this preseason.
I would agree with that. I think that Simmons is the kind of guy that, I mean, you know what his pedigree is. You know what he did in college. You know, all of that has been well documented over time. And so really the biggest question mark is, does that pedigree, how does that translate to the next level?
Right.
And in just a limited number of snaps, I think you get a pretty good idea on how that translates to the next level. I don't think you need to see a whole lot more out of him. And I'm sure that getting acclimated with everything is important and all of that. So I would anticipate we'll see more Simmons as the preseason goes on. But man, that was fun to watch. And it was a debut that I think everybody wanted to see out of him. There wasn't anything from Simmons that I saw that it concerned me whatsoever. I'm like, yeah, this is their left tackle. This is the guy that can anchor that offensive line on the left side for potentially years to come.
Yeah. That's the goal here. And then the only question becomes his health, because he sure looked like he's going to be fine ability wise. So we'll watch his health a little bit. Max, we wondered if Max back in the studio could hear us earlier. He can, because he's chiming in about, you know, rookie Patriot running backs. And he tells me when we're talking about running backs, he says none of them are Travion Henderson, which of course the rookie that the Patriots
drafted. Fair enough.
okay, Max. Max is, I don't know, are we going to be able to handle it when the Patriots are like, you know, maybe 500 and miss the playoffs? I don't think Max is going to be able to handle
that. It's going to be a hard time.
He's having a hard time. Tough. He's excited.
Yeah.
Max is excited about his Patriots.
He should be. I mean, with Vrabel at the helm, he should be.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little overexcited this year. Now, I think it was all things positive for the most part this weekend for the Chiefs, kind of exactly what you want to see out of a preseason opener. We're at the Grady Dick Golf Charity Tournament at Crestview Country Club. And, Tommy, we're going to get out. It's going to be soggy. We're going to be chasing balls. It's a junk ball day. for a lot of us that we're just willing to say, you know what, we're just going to leave that one over there. Little cart path golf kind of day. But we're going to have some fun out here at Crestview Country Club. Somebody that didn't have fun this weekend, Royals fans.
Oh,
that was a bummer. And it was a bummer because they... You've got these get one of them is extra innings, right? Yesterday that you lose. I don't know. They're running out of time, Tommy. The Royals are running out of time here and losing series like that. They're four games back. The Rangers had a terrible weekend. That helps the Royals a little bit. The Yankees being the team and their struggles helps open the door a little bit, but it really hurt them in the division. Now 9.5 back. So, you know, probably as much as we want to look at that, because they still get to play Detroit six times, you got to kind of push that one back out of there. And now we look at this wild card. The Guardians still are a team that doesn't scare me up there. The Mariners and the Red Sox, though, might not be catchable at this point. They're both playing so much better. I don't know, man. It's kind of Yankees or bust. It's kind of that third wild card spot or bust, it feels like, which is in play, four games back. You can't do things like lose two out of three to Minnesota, who's running a triple A roster out there right now.
Yeah. I mean, extremely disappointing with the way that, you know, the Twins have been just flat out sellers. Like they were sellers at the deadline. They it was a fire sale for them. And there were so many players that played for the Twins this weekend that I'm like, yep, that guy was a win surge player. That guy was a win surge player. That guy, I mean, it was just up and down the lineup card throughout the entire weekend. Disappointing that you know that the Twins are out of it and they're not playing for anything right now, and you drop two out of three to them. Friday's game, obviously you're going up against Joe Ryan. And outside of a leadoff home run by Mike Yastrzemski, it was, I mean, Joe Ryan looked really, really good.
About what you expected.
About what you expected from him. So, you know, disappointing. Seth Lugo did not look good in that game on Friday at all.
Probably his worst start of the year.
But
you consider the circumstances.
When you consider the circumstances, but you also know you're going up against Joe Ryan. You were going to need a pretty immaculate game to be able to beat him. And his stuff was filthy on Friday. So that's, you kind of set that aside and you lose that opener and you're like, okay, go out and get the next two. And it was a great pitching outing yet again from Noah Cameron on Saturday. I think you feel good about where he's at and everything, and the Royals are able to get the shutout. Then yesterday's game, a clutch home run in the seventh, I believe it was, from Vinny Pasquantino for the Royals to take the lead. And you're like, okay, like they can get out of Minnesota winning 2 of 3. They're back to 500. Things are looking good for them as they get back to home. They play the Nationals and the White Sox this week. You feel pretty good about it. And then Lucas Ursa gives up a run immediately, and then they can't get anything across in extra innings. I think the most disappointing thing about the game yesterday and the major takeaway, the Royals were 1 for 15 with runners in scoring position in that game. 1 for 15 when you had runners in scoring position. That's been an epidemic throughout this entire season for them. It had gotten better recently, and you're like, okay, cool. Like that, we can kind of get this thing turned around. And yesterday's game looked like the Royals that we saw in the month of May, month of June, and that was really disappointing.
Yeah, look, to me the most disappointing thing is how thin their margins still feel. This team is better than the margins that they play within. What feels like every night out. You can't, like, you've got an MVP candidate in your lineup. You've got a Hall of Famer in your lineup. You've got, it just is not making sense to me why they're having such a hard time separating in these games. And it shouldn't be like, I mean, look, I want that back end, and I love that back end of Ursig and Harvey and Estevez, but they can't have to be perfect every single game. They can't be playing with only one run leads every single game. Like I don't know why this team has struggled so mightily this year to put some space in a game and just throttle people, but they can't.
They can't do
it. They do.
They've not been able to do it all season long. It hasn't mattered the reinforcements they got before the deadline. That really hasn't mattered. The makeup and DNA of this team is to play close games. And we've said it before, the difference in comparing last season to this year, they played a lot of close games last year too, but they were clutch enough to be able to get wins. And that really hasn't been the case as much this season. I do think one other thing that, you know, we haven't discussed yet, but Bobby Witt Jr. did not play in the game yesterday. And when I first saw that he was out of the lineup, my first thought was, man, this is too crucial of a game to sit Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
You know, and the I understand a day off, but you've got an opportunity to not drop back to back series. He had a sore lower back, and so they held him out because of that.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's all it is just a sore lower back that he can work his way through. But that was tough to know that going into the rubber match of a divisional series,
I don't
drop back to back series. He couldn't go. That's concerning.
Don't overlook that.
Yeah, that's
concerning. Overlook that, because he's not gonna not play in any game the rest of the way, and would want to power through if at all possible.
Yeah.
So that is majorly concerning, of course, that he was not available in that game. We'll see. I mean, a lower back is a pain thing, but it's you know, we've all got bad backs. It's hard to do things with, and. Yeah, that's going to be...
It was concerning. I didn't realize when I first saw the lineup card that he had been dealing with that. And apparently he was dealing with it on Saturday as well, was still able to play. And I think that the Royals said prior to the game that if they needed to, he could pinch hit or he could be available off the bench. They didn't ultimately go to him at any point. There were some opportunities where I thought maybe they should have. There was a clutch situation. I believe it was in the top of the ninth when the Royals had the bases loaded, two outs, Michael Garcia had hit a double, and then they intentionally walked past Quintino, and then they hit Salvador Perez. Bases were loaded and Adam Frazier came up. Now Frazier had a really good game. He was ended up being 4-for-5. He was 4-for-4 up to that point. So it's hard to set a guy down that is, you know, 4-for-4, but I thought, man, if you're going to bring Bobby Witt Jr. in at any point, now might be the time to do that. When it's a tie game, top of the ninth, bases loaded, two outs. They didn't. They went with Frazier. Frazier flew out. The Royals couldn't get any runs across.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a problem. It's a concern. It's starting to feel a little bit overwhelming. And it's I'm never going to sit here and say they're done because there's still too many
games.
Don't
you feel like it's starting to slip out of their fingertips?
Yeah, I do. Because you can't lose 2-3 to Minnesota.
Yep.
But they are still only 4 games back with way too many games to play. And the Yankees aren't playing particularly well. The Rangers were just swept. And if you think the Guardians are in it, that's fine. I don't think they will be, but they always are. So maybe that's unfair to me. Nobody is taking it and running.
Right.
The Red Sox and the Mariners, I do think, are going to do that. And so now it becomes playing for one spot. This is an old school wild card chase now. And I think it is chasing games. And I think they are chasing games. And I think they are chasing a win total. And they're going to have to try to get there. But, I mean, you seeing Lugo struggle like that, seeing Bobby Witt Jr. with a bad back, seeing Urcig, who's been your nails guy,
there were a couple of positives that I think you can look at. I think Ryan Burgert had a really good game yesterday for the Royals, and I know that they weren't able to turn it into a win or anything. But he looked solid, and I think he can be a guy that they utilize in the rotation and can get you some good innings. That's a positive you can take away from all of it. But there were a couple of times after that game wrapped up yesterday that I thought to myself, this might end up being too little too late for the Royals. And all the different things that they tried to do to stay in contention, and it doesn't mean they're totally out of it.
No, they're not out.
But, man, things have gotten significantly tougher.
They get 6 games against bad teams. And if you can go win 5-6 or 6-6, you're going to be probably at that point within 2 or 1 game of that wild card. But what is becoming the challenging part to me is they're going to have to get hot enough to beat good teams, right? It can't be that they just, which is what we talked about, and it was probably naive to think, oh, you can just beat up on the bad teams and you'll be okay. They're going to have to beat
gonna have
teams
to.
Too.
They're going to have to.
Which is possible, right? Which is totally possible. But when you see Lugo struggle, and when you see Witt out, and you see Urcig not have his best game, now you're coming into this game tonight with Bailey Falter, I believe, is the projected starter.
I think that's right, yeah.
That doesn't inspire confidence. I think if you're a Royals...
If he can be the Bailey Falter from the Pirates, then I think that, can inspire some confidence.
Right.
Not the one start we saw from him in Boston. That if he duplicates that again, then at that point you're like, man, that.
But it also can't be Bailey Falter with two runs behind him.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like it has to, like they've got to be able to pick him up too. So I don't want it to be all doom and gloom, because no matter what happens, the moves that they made and the things that they've done help this franchise long term. So I think that everything is in a pretty good situation. I'll be very disappointed if this team is not in the postseason, but they haven't had Cole Reagans all year. They've dealt with a lot of injuries. They've dealt with a lot of things. And I think we just need to be ready to come to terms with that and then hope for the best. I think that's, the days of expecting this team to do anything are that's probably what we shouldn't be doing. And we should just enjoy the ride, whatever it is that they give us over the last, couple months of this season. I don't think they're going to fall out of it by any means, which it's always that chip in a chair mentality in baseball. Are you telling me I have a chance? And I think they will have a chance the rest of the way. But that's just a tough series. And had they won the other game, what would it be the difference of a half game in the standings? So,
But it would have been a difference between you being 500 to go back home or two games under 500. And that's where they're at right now. They're two games under.
Right. You're chasing a win total at this point.
Absolutely.
And so if you're chasing a win total, yes, losing any game makes it harder to get to that win total. So here we are. We sit like this and wait and see if they can just find a little of what they had at, in May is too much to ask, but just score some runs. You're going to need you to score some runs.
Yep.
And they didn't do a very good job of that in Minnesota. We'll have Jalen Thompson in the next hour. He's going to help us navigate that. I don't know if a disaster of a series is fair. That's probably not fair, but a disappointment of a series certainly is. So that'll come up in our next hour. We are just getting, the sun's not, I wouldn't say the sun's out, but it's not raining on us.
The rain stopped. That's the important thing. And we're getting ready for a golf tournament here.
We are. It's the Grady Dick Charity Golf Tournament. The very first time this event has happened, and we are glad to be out here with it.
Yep.
We've got golfers out here. Everybody's getting ready, maybe just a little bit later of a start than anticipated. If you are driving out here, they are back outside for the setup. So just come out here and get ready for a little golf. We'll have some fun today out and be embarrassing ourselves out there on the golf course trying to win this thing. Tommy's ready to go in with the losing spirit. I don't like it.
I'm not ready. I'm prepping myself for, what could potentially happen.
Maybe there's a chance. There's also a chance we win this thing. Zeb is on the mic.
I don't know if we have a chance of winning this thing.
I don't think we do.
I'm going to tell you right now, with these two attitudes, we don't have a chance.
Well, seeing how the last game I played was with Tommy in
2022.
You haven't played in 3 years. Kansas Hall of Fame.
Also, I like that you called it the last game you played.
The match?
The last game you
round.
Round.
See?
How many points did you score?
Oh, at least.
My wife would ask me. How many points did you score? All right, we're going to take a break. We've got another hour of Sports Daily coming up. We will get you locked and loaded. Jalen Thompson's going to join. We're going to try to get Grady Dick over here as well, hopefully sometime in the next hour. So stick around. From Crestview Country Club, it's Jacob and Tommy from Sports Daily.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.